Every child, no matter their chosen sport, dreams of making it to the pros, to scoring that game winner, hoisting that trophy. And I imagine for every kid that realizes the dream, the pinnacle of their sports career is to hopefully one day represent their country on the grandest of stages at a world tournament against the best that other nations have to offer. And we here at Greater Sudbury continue the tradition of churning out high-caliber athletes in different disciplines. Now following the likes of hockey's Tessa Bonhomme and Rebecca Johnston, on Saturday, Greater Sudbury's own and a graduate of the Kent State NCAA D1 soccer program, Jenna Hellstrom, was named to the 23-player roster to represent Canada at the 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup in France this June. How does that sound?
It sounds amazing. You made it, yeah, sound great. I mean, it's been a long road, but to hear that, there's no better feeling.
If I'm understanding it correctly, as I was reading in the Montreal Gazette, yeah, you're right. It's an amazing honor and an incredible accomplishment. You must be so proud. I get the sense that there was some sort of a bit of a cloak and dagger type deception in how the team was revealed. Can you take us through that announcement, how you felt at the time and what you're feeling now?
So at the beginning, they weren't really clear with us on, you know, how many players were coming to Spain, which is the pre-camp that we're at right now. So we were all kind of wondering and getting super anxious, you know, seeing every other country's 23-man roster coming out on Twitter and seeing their videos. You know, we weren't given that much information on how our team is going to be revealed or, you know, if the players that are at the camp in Spain are going to be going to the World Cup. So we were all just getting, like, pretty anxious because we knew that the roster had to be out by the 24th of May, like, officially to FIFA. We had our first game against Spain, a friendly here, before heading to France. After that, we had a meeting the next day, and we were trying to figure out, you know, when they were going to tell us. We were all asking them questions about when they were going to, you know, let us know who's on the roster and all this stuff. So we actually walked into the meeting, and they had all their jerseys up with our number and the name on the back with the revealed video playing. So, I mean, the emotions were so high. I think a lot of the players were just, you know, relieved in the fact, okay, like, this is starting to feel real. And everybody has a different journey to how they got to this point. And for me, you know, it's been a long process. I've wanted this for so long. And to just see the name on the back of that jersey as one of the 23 players named, I was super emotional. I, you know, started crying, looking back at everything that I've gone through in the past year. But yeah, so it was, I mean, the video was great, and you could just tell in the room that everyone was just like, okay, it's revealed. These are the 23 players. Like, you know, let's get going. Let's start preparing for it.
Who was the first phone call to?
The first phone call was obviously to my parents. There was a little bit of an idea going into the Spain camp. They did email us saying, these are the 23 players going to Spain. They are the most likely ones going to France, but, you know, it's never, like, it's not official until it's revealed and posted, you know, so anything could happen in Spain. And so they kind of knew that, you know, it was almost like a for sure thing. But after that meeting, I called them right away and I said, like, it's official and here's where you can find the video. And yeah, it was amazing. Nothing's comparable to the feeling of seeing my name on the back of that jersey, and especially to my parents. It meant obviously the world to them. We've, you know, gone through a lot, and having to travel to Toronto every single weekend for 3 to 4 years, you know, but it was definitely all worth it.
So you talked about every player on the national squad having their own pathway, their own journey. Take us through yours, like first getting maybe on Soccer Canada's radar, and then take us through your pro career now.
Okay, well, it first started when I signed my first pro contract in Sweden that summer after I graduated college. I went to one of the biggest clubs in Sweden. There ended up being an injury in my position, so they brought me over. We went through a trial, and they said, look, like, the transfer window is closing, which means that they can't add players or get rid of players past a certain point. And they said, look, like, we really need a winger, so we're going to sign you. It was definitely a team that I think at that point was, I would say, too high of a level for me. However, I got so much better playing with them. It was a Champions League team, so they were, you know, competing to be the best club team in the world. And me coming right out of college, it was definitely a huge step. But I definitely, you know, thought I did well into such a big team. And just because of the team I went on, I got an email one day about 5 months after signing my pro contract there from John Herdman. It was just, I remember getting this email, and it was, I don't know, it was in the morning in Sweden, so it was super late at night back home, and I had to call my parents right away, of course. So I called them, and they're like, what are you, like, why are you calling us so late, you know, thinking there was, like, something wrong. And I said, I just got an email from John Herdman saying that I'm going to be invited to the next camp. That was, you know, a huge moment for me, a huge moment for my family. It's something that, you know, I haven't gotten a call or an email like that in a long time. I was never part of the youth program. So just to, you know, finally get that chance, I knew I was ready for it. So I then went to camp after my season was over in Sweden. And I, you know, it was a camp where he said, look, this is going to be a camp for you to see if you can compare to the girls on this team. And we'll let you know afterwards, you know, if this is going to be, you're going to keep coming into camp, or, you know, if we think you're not ready and possibly invite you later on. And so I ended up performing really well at the first camp. And ever since then, you know, it was, I was getting calls and emails saying I was invited to the next one. And then I did go through something at a club in Sweden where I left the club. And it was a year ago, actually, from around this time. And I was at the point where I was thinking of completely being done with soccer, you know, moving on. And I actually applied to grad school in the States. There was, like, just something that clicked, and I was, you know, just working out still. And I thought back to myself, like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not done. I'm not satisfied with my career, and I feel like there's still a lot more that I could do. So I, you know, about 3 days before I was supposed to go to grad school in Buffalo, I called him up and I said, hey, like, I'm not done yet. Like, I, you know, this isn't the time for me to go to grad school. Thank you so much for accepting me. And so then I got a contract in Sweden again, and then I started getting called back into camps. And then ever since then, I've been to every camp this year, and they've been happy with how I've been performing, and then now, you know, being on the World Cup team. And it's just crazy how things happen. Like, a year ago, thinking about being done, and now I'm living my dream.
Now, for those who aren't familiar with the lingo, you have featured for Team Canada before. You've been capped 4 times, is it?
Yes. Yeah, 4 caps.
And by that, that means actually appearing in matches for Canada. I mean, it's one thing to be on the roster. It's another thing to get capped.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
For you, who is now just getting in there, you're getting that taste, you're starting to see some regularness. What is it like training and playing with one of the most recognizable and arguably best players in women's football in the world, in Christine Sinclair?
Yeah, I mean, at first, it was very intimidating, just because you don't know them on a personal level, and, you know, you're coming into camp, and they don't know you either. So, you know, they want not only the best players, but they also obviously want good people on the team, someone that fits in with the squad. So I think at first it's definitely difficult, but as you, you know, you start being a regular into camps, they start to, you know, respect you a lot more, and they're all great girls. This is one of the best squads I've been a part of. It's amazing playing with girls at the highest caliber, and it's made me so much better.
So on to the tournament, which France opens up as a host nation on June 7th. Fifth-ranked Canadian women's team is in Group E, and you'll begin your tournament June 10th against Cameroon. You've avoided the group of death. That's got to be some small comfort.
Yeah, oh, for sure. As like when we were watching the selection show, it was, yeah, like people have said that, you know, there's not really a group of death this tournament, but every single group, it's going to be hard. And that's exactly what the World Cup should be. You know, it's the best 24 countries in the world. So, yeah, I think if we just, you know, stick to the game plan and everything, we should definitely make it out and of our group, and we definitely have the potential to win the whole thing, which is what we're going there for.
Well, for anybody who follows the sport intensely knows how good the women's program is. In 2019, you're 5-0-3. You're unbeaten. You're really peaking at the right time heading into the tournament. The Canadian women's team is a legit threat to win the tournament. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another thing that I think that I've really thought about too. It's Like, I'm not just going for a country that is just happy to be there. Like, I'm going playing for a country who's number 5 in the world right now. And we definitely have potential to win the whole thing. And I've heard that this is the best Canada team that they've had in a long time. And I think it's shown from the past, you know, 5 to 8 games that we've played leading up to this tournament.
Now, athletes are notorious for their superstitions and routines. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I always have to listen to the same playlist going into games. Mm-hmm. I, you know, stretch, roll out the night before. And then during the day, we have a psychologist here. So I like to have a session with him, you know, just to get my mind in the right place. And yeah, I would say those are like the main thing for me.
So then when it comes to a typical match day, what is the process, you know, for you first as a player and then as the team starts to come together and go through? Take us through that process of a match day.
During match day, normally get a good sleep in, you know, sleep is important, obviously, on match day. And then, you know, just have breakfast, big breakfast, and then they kind of let us do our own thing, like separate and do like your game rituals and stuff like that. So like I said, for me, just making sure, you know, got the playlist going and then do a lot of stretching. I'll watch one of my previous games, like visualization. And then as a team, we always have to have pancakes, the meal right before we leave. So that's like a cool team thing. Yeah, I'd say that's a day, match day for us.
For the pancakes, are they like, do some people like them? Are they all plain or do some people like chocolate chips or are they like strawberries?
No, like no. Like specific. So we always make sure that there is like several toppings to pick from. So we have, obviously we bring Canadian maple syrup with us everywhere we go for those pancakes because it wouldn't be the same without it.
No, it wouldn't.
Nope. And then what else? Yeah, just like strawberry for toppings, all kinds of fruit options.
So the team motto heading into the tournament, Together We Rise. Is there a specific story behind that? Was there a collective that came together or how does that come to be?
Yeah, so that was just something that I think as a Canadian Association like came together and thought that was what was best fitted for this specific team. It all goes back to, you know, this is one or if not the best Canadian squad that we've had. And this is the best chance that we have to win a World Cup and get the star on the jersey. And that's the main, you know, that main thing that we've said all along throughout this process is getting that star on that jersey. I think that there's been, you know, such a big difference between what Canada is now to what they were at the last World Cup. We've really proven to the world that we are one of the best. I mean, coming off of a win against England, who is number 3 right now, was definitely huge. And I think we've said it in the past, you know, that we can win this, but there was like some doubt and belief, you know, that you could just hear people's voices. But right now we're at such a good place mentally and physically as a team, just from, like I said, the past wins this year, that now when we actually say we're going to get the star on the jersey and we're going to win, it's everyone, all 23 of us actually believe that it's possible of us achieving that goal. And I think that's where, like, Together We Rise, it's like we've rose at such a, like, perfect time, and we're just, you know, ready to take on every team there. And I think that we have such a good chance in being in that final game.
Now, do you have that slogan kind of, screened on the inside of your shirt? Because I know it's your profile says you're a Manchester United fan. Is that true?
Okay, well, I was, but they didn't switch it because now I'm a Man City fan. I mean, completely, like,
you
different.
Cannot. That is sacrilege.
Yeah. I know. I love Kyle Walker as a player, and that was someone that coming into the program, you know, like, they give us, like, little tasks to do, like, as, like, tech staffs or coaches for Team Canada. They'll, you know, tell us, okay, this is the player that we want you to watch and stuff like that. So they gave me Kyle Walker. Just because, like, his pace and his decisions off the ball and his delivery into the box. And that's, you know, a lot of my, like, things that I bring to this team. So after watching Kyle Walker a lot, I'm like, hey, I just got to make the switch.
Well, I think following this World Cup and with your story getting up, I am hoping personally there will be an uptick in soccer registration here in Sudbury, and then that'll put some pressure on the city council to give us a dome so we can have a 24/7, 365 facility.
100%. I agree. Just definitely something that needs to be in the works. Hopefully them seeing someone from their, you know, their hometown, you know, get to this the highest level that they can. Hopefully that'll, you know, sway their decisions into making better ones for the city and for the sport.
And, you know, I can say now, too, that my two young lads have actually had sessions and been trained by a national soccer team member. I got my boys registered with Brian's Academy, so you were there last summer, and my boys are
in that. Yes, I was.
So,
good. So that's definitely a good pick. Brian Ashton, you know, he's all the reason why I've made it this far, and he's an unbelievable coach.
Jenna, congratulations once again. Work the hardest you have ever worked in your life. Show the world that true Northern grit and spirit. Most of all, though, enjoy the experience and have fun. And on behalf of all of Greater Sudbury, we're extremely proud of you, and we wish you and all of Team Canada a successful tournament.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate you guys, you know, learning my story and being along with me for the ride.